This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 181 for Monday, May 2nd, 2022.
This week on the Two Bobs, I'm coming at you from New... You gotta stop doing that.
Like the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
This week on the Two Bobs, I'm coming at you from a new office space. We're also going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking.
And this week's crazy news, it's 420 somewhere. Squatters' rights. Let's go out for a drink. A memorable newscast. It's probably worth another ticket. And yeah, all we can say is Florida. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, what more can you say? Apparently Finnegan left.
Oh, Finnegan got tired. He didn't want to get yelled at.
She was, no, Kelly's the only one that I yell at. Oh, what?
We've been talking for 15 minutes and nothing's made noise. And then all of a sudden something did.
Something made noise.
Oh, well, that's fine.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
No.
This is good. This is good, Robert. Okay.
How's it going? So you're recording from your new intro. Office.
We did the intro. Yeah. So I did. I kind of already shared this with you, but we should also let the listeners know. I decided
the trauma
my office is a much nicer space than the basement where I've been recording for the last couple of years. So I went to Kelly today and appealed to her to give me an opportunity to record up in my office. You know, the only concern normally would be that my bedroom is right next to Colin's bedroom, and then Harrison's is like next to Colin's on the other side.
Yeah.
But the issue, I guess, would be that I'm really loud and obnoxious. And so my voice tends, and I have a voice that carries.
Yeah.
And people tell me this all the time.
Yeah. It's booming, Mike. So
it is. It really is. I have to put a special thing in front of my mic to control the volume.
Right.
And so I said, well, listen, I'll set everything up and then Colin and I will run some experiments. So I put Colin in his room, shut the door, put his little sound machine, his white noise machine on. And then I came in here and said a bunch of swear words and pretended it was at you.
Yeah.
And he didn't hear that. And then I came back in here and I shouted a little bit louder.
Yeah.
And he said he heard it just a little bit, but I figure as long as I'm not in here screaming, we should be good. Or maybe if I just scream every once in a while, it'd be okay. You know, it's not a one of those like, you know, you just got to minimize it. So I'm in my nice space here and I'm still trying to figure out how this is going to go in the end because I have my PC set up, which is my two big monitors for work. But I have a separate Mac set up on the same desk. And so Kelly was giving me some shit about having a lot of screens now.
And that window behind you is very distracting.
Yeah. Kelly's, you said it was fine.
It's fine.
Well, no, you know, I'm going to close it.
No, don't touch it.
Close it.
I like to know that it's still sunny out. And that explains why you were okay recording at this time rather than the 8 o'clock. You want to get done by the time the boys go to bed so that you can't be accused of keeping them up with your big booming garçon voice.
Yeah, something like that. Garçon. But is Beauty and the Beast now? Is it Beauty and the Beast? Right? Yeah.
I think so.
So now I've closed the blinds now. And it's still there's zebra shade. It's a zebra shade. Still lets a little bit of light in, but it's much more
I thought you would have had the Alexa controlled shades that you could just tell it to do it.
You know what? We were gonna do that when I moved in, but I didn't have $1 billion for window treatments.
You did. No, I mean, if it's not going to control your air fryer, you're not going to let it control your shades.
Yeah, I mean, they have Alexa do a lot of things, but, you know, not. She doesn't need to deal with that.
Oh, man, you know what she does need to deal with?
Beer.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I gotta adjust my volume again.
By the way, Kelly stopped in here a moment ago before we started recording.
Yeah.
And saw your background.
Yeah.
And was very curious as to where you were working out of this morning. Yeah. Looks like you're working at a Google headquarters or something like that.
nice colors everywhere.
Said no, it's a virtual background. You're in a basement.
She's not sure how that works.
At least you're basically finished.
Oh, there it goes.
Mine was not finished. All right, let's see here. Beer.
Yeah.
The beer. Hold on. I'm going to pull up the...
I'm very excited about yours, even though I don't have
it. What are we drinking? I'm very excited about it, too, because I've had it already, and it might be a good one. Hard to say. So. You won't know until... Because I got to pretend. I got to pretend like I've never had this before.
Yeah.
For the show. You got to do it for the show. And it gives me zero fucking information on the website. Cool.
That's what mine was. I had to use Untappd. And then I think I forgot to read it. Maybe I did.
There's enough. Oh, actually, there's writing on the can. I love when that happens because it's got a story. It's got a whole story with it. And the lettering is very small. But I did go to the eye doctor today, and they told me that I did not need any assisted reading devices quite yet. So this week, we're going to our old friends at New Holland.
Oh.
New Holland, and I have the Bananas Foster Porter, which is a rum barrel aged porter.
Rum ham.
With bananas. Thank God, no. Vietnamese cinnamon and other natural flavors. It's a Brewer's Best series, 2022. That's this year, number one. So it's a limited release, and it just came out last month in March of 2022. Says if you've ever had Bananas Foster, you know that is the best dessert ever made by mankind.
Ooh.
This is why we've brewed a decadent porter with bananas, brown sugar, and Vietnamese cinnamon, and aged it in bourbon. No, I'm sorry, in Uh-oh. Barbados. Like I said, the writing's very small. Barbados.
You go back
rum
to the
barrels. This is the greatest and the best dessert in the world. Tribute, limited release, premium, unique. Our brewers explore and experiment with distinct flavors and premium ingredients. So that each sip tells a story of creativity and craft that's meant to be shared. And here we are. And again, this is a limited release. That's 13.2% alcohol by volume. And good luck getting it because, again, it came out last month or March. Well, by the time this comes out, it will be May, I think, right? Yep. So technically, this came out 2 months ago, March. By the way, Definitely notes of cinnamon.
Oh, Vietnamese cinnamon, Rob.
And actually, I can smell little bananas. I can some aromas of bananas. So that's good. I'm going to try it. Let you know what I think. I got to pretend like I've never had this beer before.
It's fresh.
And it's really good, too. Like, you can taste the bananas. There are notes of bananas. Not overbearing, though. Well balanced bananas, beer, but well, it's beer, bananas, cinnamon.
Yeah, Vietnamese. And now, is it the artificial bananas taste, or is it like it really came from a banana?
No, it tastes like natural banana. Huh? It doesn't have that banana flavor. I know what you're talking about.
You can tell,
but you get the bananas, you get the cinnamon, notes of vanilla in there. I'm getting some. Really, really good beer. I love bananas, but at the same time, not always a huge fan of banana flavored things.
Right.
But this tastes really good, actually. I did rate it a 5 on Untappd.
Oh, good.
You know, New Holland is one of those breweries that just does they just make really good beer. I'd say there's definitely a lot of consistency behind their beer. And we've had New Holland many times on the show.
Yeah,
I'm going to go through it just because I feel like it.
Because you can.
Starting with episode 5, Tree Seeds, had a Dragon's Milk. Oh, episode 23, Love the Dough. You had a Mad Hatter. Episode 27, Rob loves Game of Thrones. You had a Poet. Episode 43, Ring of Idiot Thieves. I had a Cabin Fever. Episode 54, Chocolate Ass. You had a Baltic Anomaly. Episode 103, Diddle Cleaning Wipes. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Orange Chocolate. Episode 104, Mermaid Enthusiast. I had a Dragon's White Milk White from New Holland. Episode 107, Sheep is Dolly. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Maple Oak. It's episode 111, Code Brown. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Raspberry Hibiscus. Episode 144, My Butt Just Farted. I had a Dragon's Milk Solera. Episode 145, Santa Has COVID. I had a Holiday Ale. Episode 146, Celine Dion. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Bourbon Barrel Aged Stout with vanilla and chai spices. Episode 150, Pitchfork Home Invasion. I had a Peanut Butter Poet. Episode 167, Domestic Taco Battery. I had a Dragon's Milk Reserve Salted Caramel. And now this one. And we've had New Holland on the show more times than I thought.
Whew. That's a lot. I forgot about all those Dragon's Milk, and I've looked for the ones here, but the only ones I can find is I think it's like Dragon's Milk White, and I'm a little bit afraid of that. But I did have that
once on the show, and it was it was just all right though.
Yeah,
it was the worst of the Dragon's Milks.
Worst Dragon Milk. So yeah, I have not been lucky enough to find any of those. So and I love bananas. I love like we were talking about the banana flavoring. I'm not a huge fan of, and Arby's used to do these shake of the month, and they did a banana one, and I think I liked it because of the novelty, but you could tell it was that artificial banana. So I wouldn't expect that they would make it taste like artificial banana in there. They'd get the real thing in there. So that's good.
Maybe next week, I got a bunch of beer still. Maybe next week there's a Dragon's Milk triple mash, which I recently tried. Really good. I did rate it very kindly, we're gonna call it, on Untappd, and that one comes at 17.3% alcohol by volume, which is woo for a beer.
So, that's extreme.
Something to look forward to,
huh?
It's extreme in a good way, though.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
That sounds good.
Yeah, very excited.
Well, I'm gonna go back to my friends at the Aslin Beer Company, and I've had a couple. I think last week I had one from them, and we were sitting out in the grass eating shrimp the other night, and I went over and I got what's become one of my favorites from them. It's the Nuances of Meaning. They're a Northern Virginia brewery here, not all that far from me, although I like to try to get over there sometime, maybe this weekend. But this time I've got the Aslin Beer Company Laser Raptors, and I thought the can looked cool. It's got the raptor on there with all the old school, or you know, like school photo background on it. And it's an Imperial Double IPA, 8.3% alcohol by volume. I will get this to where you can see it here, but it's really nice and yellow. It's hazy. It's got, it's just got a really nice color to it. The smell of it smells like there might be some fruit. But I can't.
That doesn't smell like vagina.
Not this time. It doesn't smell like.
This smells like my vagina.
You have to throw that in there.
There it is.
It doesn't smell. It almost has like a tropical fruit or something similar to that. So the website didn't really tell us a whole lot except for where I could buy it and buying it from the website itself. But Untappd tells us absolutely nothing about it. It says, when exploring the French Alps, we came across something we did not know exists. While hiking, Joel screamed, "Fuck, that's a laser raptor. I thought they were extinct thousands of years ago." Little did we know, this raptor was friendly. He had been outcasted decades ago and started his own brewery in Switzerland. I like to live in Switzerland. After a few beers with this raptor, we decided to do a collaboration and dedicate this beer after him. If you're wondering his name, it's Jeff or El Jefe after a few beers. I think everybody knows one of those. So it does, like I said, it doesn't really tell us anything. It's a cool story. I'm going to give it a taste. I'm going to give it a sniff again, see if I can exactly figure out what that smell is, or what the scent is, the aromas, and then taste it and see if I can pull out any flavors. Sometimes those write-ups almost lead you down a direction and you're going to expect to taste something, or sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. It still has a very tropical smell to it. Let me see what it tastes like. That's pretty damn good. So I get some tropical fruit in there. I'm not sure exactly what it was, and I think I would have liked to know what to expect in there. But I get some of that. I get a little bit of, like, kind of like the one I had last week, I think had a little bit of pine to it. Not too much, because I don't want my beer tasting like trees. But the fruits are in there. It's got a nice bite to it. It's not overpowering, even for a double Imperial IPA. And I think we both hit it out of the park this week. I gave this one a 5.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Perfect scores all around. That's great.
Yeah, I was right on the edge of it, like almost 4 3/4. But I thought I'm going to go back over and get a couple more of these boxes. They come in a 4-pack, so I'm going to get a couple more of those. And scrolling through Untappd, it seems like, you know, you're hitting four and up, and there are a couple other fives in there as well. So it doesn't seem like I'm grasping at straws when I give it that five. But damn it, I like it. The one that I had while eating shrimp out in the grass, it was the Nuances of Meaning, and I don't think I quite gave that one a five, but that was my favorite from Aslan, and I've had a couple other ones that I really like. This one nudges that one out. I'm not sure what it is about it, and I have a couple more of those. I might drink them side by side, but yeah, this one kills it. I'm definitely going to get some more and maybe swing over there and see if they have any that I can get fresh out of the tap room and see how it compares. But I love it. And again, it's the Laser Raptors by Aslan Brewing Company, a double Imperial IPA.
What's crazy is your beer averages 4.14.
Yeah.
With over 13,000 ratings. Yeah. Mine rated 4.46 with about 1,000 ratings. So they're both very well reviewed beers. We nailed it.
Yeah, well, that's interesting you mentioned that about the total. So, yeah, there was 17,939 total, 14,600 or 14,600 unique, and yours was only 1,500. So that's interesting to see how the variation in releases can be with beers like that. And I guess I don't know how long this one's available, but yeah, very interesting. So, no, I love it.
Nice.
Well, I guess on that high of the two 5 rated beers, we'll jump into why everybody's here in the first place, and that's crazy news.
That's correct.
Got it. Oh yeah, you got the. See, now you got to stand up the rest of the time.
Well, I mean, it goes back down too, and actually, I can't. So then I got to adjust my mic. I was like this, like, yeah, hold on.
You go part. Now, do you find yourself doing much standing?
Yes.
Were you standing today when we were texting about cookies that Kelly wouldn't eat? I mean, she would eat them.
I think I was part of the time. Yeah. It's weird. Like when I'm in like even at the office, because I have a standing desk there too. It's like when I'm in like virtual meetings, things like that, or just sitting at my desk. I like to sit. Well, it'd be hard to sit at your desk if you're sitting, I guess. But if I'm on the phone, for some reason, I just like this, like, I like to be standing up when I'm on the phone. So if I'm on the phone, if I'm like calling clients and things like that, I like to stand up. And that's generally what I do.
Huh. Interesting. Yeah, I thought about getting a standing desk when I rearranged all this. So I'm just going to try it first and figure out how it's going to go and then see what happens. But maybe.
Yeah.
Well, shit. Our first story is going to take us to our friends at KSDK. And I don't think we've ever been to KSDK,
we just became friends today.
Right. We're brand new friends then.
Yeah.
So this is, Missouri. It says a crash spills 500 pounds of marijuana onto Missouri Highway on April 20th, which is also.
Well, that's a coincidence.
Right. It's the 20th of 4/420, which also somehow represents marijuana. I'm not quite sure how, but it does.
I don't know how that works either.
Yeah.
But, you know.
But you're aware that it is. And it says all the.
I'm aware that's a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. All the marijuana was trying to make its way across Missouri, but the trip came to a sudden end in a series of crashes on I-70. You definitely don't see this every day, but it's 4/20. Missouri State Highway Patrol tweeted after a crash Wednesday that led to a marijuana bust. Missouri State Highway Patrol officers responded to a 3-vehicle crash on Interstate 70 in Callaway County. Among the bits of plastic and bent metal scattered across the highway. Among the bits of plastic and bent metal scattered across the highway, troopers found something else: packaged marijuana.
Boy,
not just a little bit, but a lot, Rob. I don't know if you know how much a lot is, but it was a lot.
It's like quite a bit.
Yep. After gathering up all the bags, the highway patrol said the pot weighed in at 500 pounds. All that marijuana was trying to make its way across Missouri on 420, But the trip came to a sudden end after a series of crashes on I-70, which we just learned about a second ago. The Highway Patrol believes a semi-trailer driver tried to avoid a previous crash when a pickup truck driver lost control and hit the back of the semi-trailer. Another semi-trailer went off the road and then hit the pickup truck. So it was a big mess. I'm still not sure what happened. The Highway Patrol believes all the marijuana was in the pickup truck, which was occupied by two men and a woman from Mexico. The men were arrested and charged with drug trafficking. All three suffered moderate injuries. No one was seriously injured in the crash. Now, I got to wonder, which is heavier, 500 pounds of marijuana or 500 pounds of bricks?
You know what's funny is...
No, not that.
I've asked people similar questions before. It's always funny when they sit there. Well, like, clearly the bricks are heavier.
Yeah. Yeah. No, yeah, you always, there's always somebody you can stump with those.
Now, you get more marijuana. What costs definitely. More? 500 pounds of marijuana or 500 pounds of bricks? My guess is the marijuana.
Yeah. I don't know what it weighs, like what to expect, but I got to imagine that's a good bit.
I don't know. Alexa, how much does 500 pounds of marijuana cost? That wasn't asking you.
Alexa, how much does 500 pounds of marijuana cost?
I don't know that.
Oh.
Oh, see. Neither Alexa. Mine answered here, too.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Alexa, how much does 500 pounds of marijuana weigh?
Sorry, I don't know that one.
Oh. Alexa, which is heavier, 500 pounds of marijuana or 500 pounds of bricks?
I don't know that.
Well, so as of according to silvertherapeutics.com.
Always a trusted source.
As of June of 2021, a pound of weed was $1,616. So 1,616 times 500. So it's $808,000. Now, that was in June of 2021, so you multiply that, because 1.8085, representing 8.5% inflation.
Yeah.
It's $876,680.
In the back of their pickup.
Which is $68,000 more than it would have been last year, based off of 8.5%, you know, inflation. I don't know how heavy marijuana is when the Fed, or when
they take it,
when the consumer price index is
that's crazy.
Anyway,
where's our next one take
determined. Us? Our next one's going to take us to Missouri, where two more suspects arrested in fatal shooting of cab. Wait. No, that's just, oh, this is a story that's under the other story.
Yeah, hold on a second. You scrolled, but you didn't close your tabs. So you're supposed to open them all up in the tabs, and then when we're done, you close the tab and go to the next one. That's how it works.
Two more suspects arrested in fatal shooting of cab driver outside St. Louis County High School. I'm like, why is this funny? It's not. Okay, let's try this one.
Crazy. We're
gonna open a new one.
Yeah.
Now this one here is in Fairfax, Virginia.
Yeah,
which I know somebody who's in that general vicinity in Virginia, where a home that sold for $805,000 comes with a stranger living in the basement. Did you get a stranger with your basement, Robert, or did that come stranger free?
No strangers here.
No strangers here.
Just so
the Fairfax, Virginia home received 5 all cash offers and sold in less than a week, according to the listing agent.
Yeah,
a home in Fairfax, Virginia, sold this month above the asking price, even though it comes with an unusual feature: a stranger living in the basement. The 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom house sold for $805,000 to an unnamed buyer on April 15th. Public records show listing agent Zinta K. Rogers Rickard of Remax Gateway said the home received 5 cash offers and closed in less than a week after it was listed. The listing generated headlines and noting that buying the home required acknowledgement that home will convey with a person living in the lower level with no lease in place. So there's a squatter in there, in other words. No access to see lower level, the listing added. 2 days after the home was listed, the Instagram account Zillow Gone Wild posted about it, noting that it came with a specific clause in the purchase price. The post garnered 35,000 likes and comments from users speculating about the identity of the basement tenant and poking fun at the unusual circumstances of the sale. $800K for 5-bedroom, 4-bath, and your own serial killer, a user commented. And is the basement haunted? Feels like the basement is haunted, another wrote. Before sale closed, Rogers Ricker told the New York Post that the seller was an elderly man who was ill in the hospital and who had offered the basement dweller a place to stay 3 years ago, and she cleaned his home and convinced him she needed a place to stay. So he offered her the basement, and then she never left, and she does not pay rent, Rogers Rickard added. The agent told the Post that the man's family was hoping to sell the home before he died because he didn't have a will and they didn't have the money to hire a lawyer to work on the eviction. Rogers Ricker declined to comment to NBC News on the circumstances of the seller or the basement dweller. Neighbor told WTTG-TV that a woman and her daughter live in the basement. The listing describes the lower level as a walkout basement with a legal bedroom, full bath, storage, and large living area. A 3,500-square-foot home was built in 64 and sold for $319,097. Public records show the listing notes that the home needs work, estimating that required repairs and replacement costs, replacements would cost $25,000. Home is livable, but needs some TLC, it reads. Photos show the kitchen counter strewn with empty bottles, deteriorating furniture, outdoor furniture in the deck, and rotting window frames. To claim squatter's rights in Virginia, a person has to live in place in a place for 15 years and not hide the fact that they're living there. Rogers Rooker told NBC News she attributes the quick sale to the strong market. Obviously, the limited inventory in homes in Northern Virginia continues to fuel the market and makes all sales possible. When priced right, she wrote in the text. And especially when... even when there's homeless people living in your basement.
Now that begs a question, and I debate on whether asking or whether adding this one to the list, but would you buy a home with somebody living in the basement?
No.
And no access. It's not like you can go down there and meet them and realize they're not crazy, they're not chained up. You just buy the house. You can't look down there in the listings, like you can't even disturb them. And yet you would still pay, you know, $800,000 plus for this house, and that it's not cheap.
No, that's crazy to me. And the thing is, I mean, see, what I don't get though is it said in the story that somebody had to be living in a place for 15 years to claim squatter's rights, but she's only been there for 3 years. So my guess is the people that were okay paying that much money for an old house that's deteriorating probably has the money to get the person that's living down there evicted, would be my guess. So yeah. I think probably their plan is let's close on the sale of the house and then get this person the heck out of there. So yeah, would be my guess. But
yeah, and they didn't make the arrangements, the original agreement that allowed the people to live there in the first place. That's although true. Maybe I don't know if there's something they could put in the contract that says that you would let them live there. Maybe they did. Maybe they learned something else about it and realized they didn't care, but it's weird.
Yeah. You know, again, paying that much money, I'd want it to come with a basement.
Basement. Without people living in it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, an empty basement. You know.
Preferably. And there's no checkbox for that on Zillow.
Unoccupied. It's not, because I have my house on there and I updated the details of the house when we got it. And there was no option to select whether or not there was a squatter living anywhere in your premises.
That's right. So I would have unchecked that box had I known.
Now I've closed that tab.
Yeah, good.
And opened a new one for the next story here. So I know where we're at.
Right, right. So this next one takes us to our friends at Food and Wine. And I like food, and we all like wine. You can drink at a British pub in the nude thanks to a new events company. I don't know about that. After a successful first event, Nothing On Events went.
I try it.
Wants to further its naturism or naturism message. Nudists enjoy the occasional tipple just as much. Alexa, what is a tipple?
As a noun, tipple can have a few meanings. Okay. One, intoxicating liquor. Two, a device that tilts or overturns a freight car to dump its contents.
That's probably
it. I think that's the one they're talking about.
A place where loaded cars are emptied by tipping.
Oh.
Four,
there's that too.
A structure where coal is cleaned and loaded in railroad cars or trucks.
This goes on.
So very diverse word.
Right. It's like that word last week. I don't remember what it was, but I was going to try to save it.
There's a structure where cars are
right
are tipped over.
Nudists enjoy the occasional tipple, which means drink, just as much as those who would regularly wear clothes. And a recently launched events company in the UK has begun hosting events at pubs where naturists or naturists are welcome to drink while naked. Nothing On Events bills itself as seeking to normalize naturism and natural nudity whilst breaking down the negative stereotypes of media-inspired body image and encourage everybody to accept their body as it is, which is a very long way. So they said normalized naturism and social nudity. And on March 26th, the group hosted its inaugural event, a clothing-free gathering at the Royal Oak, a small pub outside of Guildford, Surrey.
Whoa, watch your step. You just walked into some bullshit.
Hopefully you didn't do that while you were nude. Naturism is about equality and inclusivity, so I wanted to put on dining events that more people could afford and have the opportunity to experience the freedom of naturism in safe environments. Founder Adam Ford told the UK's Daily Star.
It's like a web form I got to fill out for this. I do accept my body as it is.
Yeah. You don't have any choice. We want to provide more opportunities for seasoned naturists or naturists to do whatever anybody else takes for granted, except doing it in the nude. Naked dining had a bit of a moment about 5 years ago, especially in London, where a nude restaurant gained popularity in 2016. But Ford wanted to expand the activities where nudity could be accepted beyond a formal meal. I thought about the other events and activities that could be organized that were not dining. He continued, we're the event company that aims to normalize naturism to allow people to have new experiences in safe, non-sexual social nudity. Along those lines, Nothing On Events website currently lists four categories of events: food and dining, art, social, and tours, with get-togethers slated out until August. Things like a social at a cafe bar and a tour of a gin distillery. Also, shuffleboard seems to be popular. Under food and drinks, four events are scheduled across Devon and West Sussex. As for the aforementioned inaugural event, Nothing On wrote, we couldn't have asked for better. Good drinking, good food. Or good drinking and great food, which is even more important. Brilliant venue and fabulous company. Who said you need to have clothes to have a good time? Except the government when you're in public.
Is there a group for those who prefer sexual nudity?
Probably.
Because this one said non-sexual, and I feel like that's right. Not as fun.
Now, do they involve sexomnia? If you have sexomnia, you're allowed to participate.
One could hope. I'm still. I was at the doctor the other day. I should have asked him.
Yeah.
How to get that?
If there is anything? No, they have a website. Oh boy.
I just wanted doctor. What not to do? What do I not do to make sure I don't get sexomnia? And I'll just do all those things.
How do I pretty much assure that I will get it? That's what I want to know.
You got to pose it. You got to pose it in a particular way, though.
Yeah.
So they don't know.
Right. So they don't think you're weird. Tough. Oh, Nothing On Events has an Instagram.
Hmm.
It's just Nothing On Events. 17 posts, 120 followers, 101 following. I'm going to switch over to the Two Bobs account.
You should.
Make sure they're followed. No, you know, they're not. Well, they're blacked out. They're out hiking. He's wearing a backpack. Oh,
that's nice.
And that's pretty much it.
It's very nice.
Yeah. Huh. Learn something new every day.
You do. You can drink and be nude at the same time. Isn't that great? God bless America.
Not on this show.
No. What happened? My damn it, I'm on the wrong story again.
You're on the wrong tab?
close the tab. Well, I accidentally clicked on something, and now it's here we are. All right, so we're going to Spain, where a reporter was totally unaware that there's a giant inflatable penis gate crashes live news broadcast. Journalist Luis Mestres failed to notice the blunder as two holidaymakers, those tourists, I'm assuming, walked out of the arrival hall with one of them holding a giant phallic float in her hands. There's a big, giant, probably 5 foot long penis, and there's testicles and all that good stuff. A news presenter was interrupted by a holiday maker
who walked
into camera holding a giant brick, bright pink phallic inflatable. The awkward moment was caught on live TV on one of Spain's major television channel, TVE, as journalist Luis Mestres shared details of an Operation Easter Exit. A mass exodus of 14.3 million vehicles hit the road in Spain this weekend for a mini break. While the veteran reporter stands outside the Palma Airport in the top British tourist destination of Mallorca, a group of holidaymakers come out from the arrival hall, which I'm assuming is where the arrivals come in into the terminal. There's a lot of things I got to digest here, it's words-wise. At one point, a woman is seen walking behind Lewis with a huge inflatable in the shape of, thank you, of a male's genitalia. She and her friend eventually notice the camera crew and walk away from the camera as Luis carries on his report. The moment was shared on Twitter by eagle-eyed viewers, as one called it, the newscast of RTVE. Captures the best operations out of Holy Week. One said, what a party is coming. The best arrives at Mallorca and without a cap, a second wrote. People arrive like the wise men, loaded with toys, a third added. And that's it. Story's over. Wow. No. That's great. There's a guy. So just to recap, there was a guy in Spain, a veteran TV reporter reporting on holidaymakers or people that were flying in on vacation,
right?
Vacationers
to make the holiday,
and one apparently came out of the airport terminal with a giant inflatable penis with little testicles, large testicles hanging from it. I don't know why that was happening, but it got on TV and it's funny.
That's pretty good. I might figure out a way to make that into the show note. The show art, rather. Unless we're going to take us to our friends. Yeah. Maybe
put a censored over it.
Yeah, probably. Blur it out a little bit. I figured out how to do the little pixelated blur so you can kind of tell what it is.
Oh, perfect.
That'd be good. This one takes us to our friends at therecorddelta.com. Which I think is also the first time we've ever been to the recorddelta.com.
So a lot of firsts this week.
A lot of firsts. A local woman faces charges, shows up naked to an arraignment.
Charges.
In Buchanan. Alexa, where is Upshur County?
Upshur County is located in Texas in the United States.
Texas.
That makes sense. One Upshur County woman is facing a charge of domestic battery after a dispute turned physical on Monday, April 4th. According to court documents, Buchanan City Police Officer Angel McCauley was dispatched to Speedway in Buchanan for an active domestic disturbance occurring in a white Subaru. Doesn't make much sense. Upon arrival, Officer McCauley witnessed the defendant, later identified as Brittany Hills Suppin, age 24, allegedly physically assaulting a male victim who was seated in the driver's seat.
Not supposed to do that.
No. Hope he's wearing a seatbelt. When the defendant spotted Officer McCauley, she allegedly exited the vehicle and began telling the officer of an alleged infidelity. The criminal complaint stated the officer did not see any apparent marks on the victim who refused EMS service, said he had to admit that he got beat up. In the victim's statement, he stated he was meeting with the defendant to retrieve divorce papers when she allegedly began hitting him and pulling his hair. After witnesses stated that other witnesses stated they saw the defendant physically hitting the victim, according to the statement, the affidavit states, records show, Hill Sutphin was unable to be arraigned until Tuesday evening after being deemed unable to appear. When she was finally able to appear, it was reported that the defendant was naked and had to be covered in a towel. She had just come over from the pub after being out on vacation or whatever they called it. They were out on holiday visit or whatever they called it in the last article. The defendant was remanded to Tigert Valley Regional Jail on a $5,000 cash bond. And then that's it.
That's so very abrupt endings. Very abrupt endings in our news stories this week.
Now I got to go. Oh, Holidaymaker.
Holidaymakers.
Yeah, I got to remember that.
Yeah. There was another word, too. The arrival hall.
The Holidaymaker. Oh, shit. Well, the last one's yours.
I'm just wondering, why was she naked?
She just decided, Rob. She had issues, it seemed like.
I think so. It just says...
And why couldn't they find her for a day in order to make her show up?
When finally able to appear, it was reported the defendant was naked, had to be covered with a towel.
And they figured in that... and how did she get there? She was in jail, right?
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to say, Robert.
The record Delta.
All right, this one's about Walter. What's so funny is I saw the picture. I'm like, that looks like Walter White. What do you know?
What did he do?
Do this keep towels at the court? Just
just in case.
Just in case somebody shows up in the nude?
Yeah, probably.
We're going to our friends at World's Daily. Damn it, I keep doing that. Daily News Report. I did it last week, too. Daily News reported where Walter White lookalike was arrested for hanging from a traffic light and shitting on cars in Florida. Tallahassee, Florida. Fred Slint, age 57, was caught with his double wide at the trailer park hours after running away from an intersection where he had just shat on dozens of cars. Slint was causing havoc at every red light. Authorities would later say, I had my sunroof open.
Oh, no.
To enjoy the nice day. And out of nowhere, runny shit lands on my shoulder, said one victim. A trail of shit led from the left turn lane to his locale. Slit was caught brown-handed, hiding in this double-wide. He tried to pretend he didn't know anything about the incident. Seriously. But the smell and shit-stained clothes gave him away. It's a dead giveaway.
Right.
We're looking for a guy who's shitting on...
No, it wasn't me. I've been here all
hanging
day.
Hanging from lights and hanging and shitting on cars. He's got shit all over him. Upon inspection of Slint's person.
Inspection.
Quick. That's what I said.
Right. I was just emphasizing it.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Of Slint's person, a quick-footed officer noted the shape and size of the corn. Liquid fecal excrement? Because, you know.
That stuff doesn't digest.
Corn isn't easily digested.
Right.
From the crime scene was consistent with the corn found attached to Slint's butt hairs. they examined his butt hairs. Jados claims he was seeking retribution for all the assholes who come into contact with him as a Walmart greeter. Oh, this is what he had to say. Get ready for this. People shit on me all day. I decided it was time to fight back and show all of Florida, that this Florida man will no longer be taking shit, but instead I will be the shitter, the great shit commander. Slint is being held on a $50,000 bond while he awaits his trail.
His trail.
It does say trail. His trail.
Oops. they messed up.
Juxtaposed the I and A in that one. Yeah. He is being housed alone, as he isn't as he is a shit flinging threat. You never want to be one of those unless you're a monkey, I suppose. Oh man, there it is. There it is. Look at this story. Bride starts to squirt uncontrollably during her wedding. Priest gets sprayed in the eye.
Oh man. Oh man. Yeah. Let's see the Daily News reported. Oh no, that's the same article. I thought maybe they use the same pictures.
Huh. Well, what's funny is there's a couple down here, and I'm like, yeah, I've seen that photo on other stories before.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they like to reuse those.
They do. Yeah, stock photos.
Well, shit. It's episode 181. There it Holiday is. Maker.
Or whatever it ends up being called.
Who knows? I'll figure that out when I'm less tired, but that's 181. And we both had 2 5 rated beers in one episode, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, my beer is almost done, and it was, and I would not hit. I do not regret my decision to rate it a 5.
Yeah, no, me either. Mine's quite good as well. I'm savoring it. I figured I could have chug it, but then it would be done, and I like it. And you got through the whole episode without Kellis coming back in and asking you questions about whether everything was going to stay that way, but she'll be back.
Yeah, she might in her own business for a little while, so that's good.
She's letting it stew a little bit, making you think that you're safe and clear.
Yes, it's a false sense of security she's giving me right now.
Hey, I'm glad that's done. Till you walk out that door.
Exactly. Then the wrath. The wrath hits me.
Well, I'm going to go up and have some more of those new Oreos that I bought, even though I've had way too many today.
They look good, though.
Good.
I love anything with toffee in it, really.
Oh, well, shit. We better get to the recap. We'll see you next week, probably.
See you next week. Maybe, probably, possibly. This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.